I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We continue. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. As always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Now join us on the hotline. Former NBA player, did win three slam dunk contests. And that, of course, Nate Robinson here with us on behalf of DraftKings. Going to talk, obviously, about DraftKings and then the Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals as well. Nate, thanks for the time. How you been?
Yes, sir. It was good, bro.
Nothing much. Been fantastic. And when I think of your career, I know a lot of people bring up the dunk contest right away. Even I did it in the introduction. One of the first things I think about is that NBA Finals up against the Lakers when you're jumping on Big Baby Davis's back. Relive that moment for me a little bit.
Man, honestly, man, I was just excited to be a part of this, you know, just that whole Celtic ride to the Finals. You know, Doc wasn't really giving me no playing time. He really wasn't rocking with me, but that one opportunity that I got, I just tried to seize it. And that game, me and Big Baby really showed up for our team. We came in and brought that energy off the bench. It was so much fun, you know, playing at in such a great, you know, atmosphere and a great game, playing against some of the, you know, the world's greatest, like, you know, rest in peace, Kobe, played against him and took the legacy game seven. And, you know, we fell short, lost by four points. And I felt kind of bad after we lost, man, because I really felt like I could have helped the team. I know I could have got more than 4 points that game if Doc would have just, you know, let me rock and play in game seven. Me and Big Baby, we didn't play that much. And I was just hurt by that. Like, we should have been out there and contribute more than what he believed in us. And it was just hard, man. It was hard dealing with that for a while. But, you know, things happen for a reason. But I was really excited, and I appreciate the opportunity that God presented for me playing, you know, in such a hostile environment, man, playing, you know, in L.A., game seven. I mean, you couldn't have wrote that up, you know, in a movie. It was like the perfect ending of a movie, and, you know, and the right team won. I'll give it to them. The right team won. They came and they brought it.
The only thing that I still think back in that series, and we know that Ron Artest had that big shot in game seven, but you go back to game six where Perkins gets hurt. I just wonder if the Lakers still would have won that series if Kendrick Perkins didn't get hurt.
Yeah, I don't know. Perk was a big piece. I mean, he used to do a lot of rebounding, talked on defense a lot. Perk was a good teammate, hard worker. He just, you know, his game didn't look pretty, but he got the job done, man. He's like, you know, he's that garbage man that comes around and, you know, smells like garbage, you know, got, you know, picks up everybody's garbage, picking up things after everybody. He was that type of player. You know, his game didn't smell good, but, you know, and sometimes it didn't look good, but it was very effective.
With your frustration in that finals with Doc, did you ever address it during the series? Did you ever address it afterwards? Or did you just let it be and it's out of your control?
I left it alone because there was no winner for me even bringing it up. And, I mean, he knew, the players knew, you know, that we needed some subs. We needed to play the guys that, you know, on the bench and keep our same routine that we had, you know, in the previous games. I just left it alone, man. A coach knows best, I guess, man. As a player, you don't want to be labeled as somebody that, you know, is going against the grain, that's rebelling. I was already walking on thin ice anyway. They didn't even, you know, the league didn't even want me being in the league. I mean, I'm surprised I lasted 11 years in the NBA because they were trying to get me out of there out the gate, it felt like. So for me, I just, you know, stayed quiet and I just waited for my opportunity. And when my number was called, I just went out and tried to do the best as I could at that moment.
What do you mean that the league was trying to get you out of the league like early on?
It was just a lot of, man, Nate's doing this, sit him down, don't play him, just try to tarnish my name, tarnish who kind of, you know, my characteristics, the type of player and person I was. I don't know. They just tried to blackball me out of the league. It felt like that. It's just personal, man. I don't know. I mean, you'd have to talk to certain coaches. I mean, there's no reason why a player like myself that can score in bunches and come off the bench and give you 30 or 40 points off the bench any given night, you don't give that guy more of an opportunity to play. It's just a tough pill to swallow, and knowing that, you know, you work your ass off, you come in before everybody's in the gym, you're the last one to leave, and it's just not good enough. Maybe because I'm just 5'9", maybe it's just being a little guy. Because I don't think they would probably treat me like that if I was 6'5". If I was 6'5", doing that, I'll probably still be playing in my 16th year right now.
Nate Robinson here with us. Did you never feel comfortable when you were playing in the NBA because of that? Because you felt like something was working against you?
Not really. I mean, I just knew it was. I just had fun doing what I did, going in and playing and having fun. That was my thing. I was just like, at the end of the day, they put me in the game, I'm going to enjoy my minutes, whatever that's 5 or if it's 20 or if it's 40. I'm going to just enjoy it for what it is and try to help my team do as much as I can to help them win. And as long as I do my part and contribute, then I know I tried and I know I bust my ass to help the team, help the squad.
Nate Robinson here with us on behalf of DraftKings. We'll talk about DraftKings in just a moment. Getting back to Doc, how do you classify him as a coach? You think he's a great coach in this league?
Yeah, he's a solid coach. He's a good coach for sure. He knows his X's and O's. He knows how to make sure the players – protect their bodies. He doesn't do no wear and tear. He doesn't practice much. He lets guys come in and get shots up. But we do a lot of studying, watching a lot of film. I mean, and then that's half the battle of playing in the league is knowing guys' tendencies. So he does a great job of being there. He's a good coach. I never take that away from him. It's just that, you know, sometimes good coaches make bad decisions sometimes, and we're all human. We all make mistakes.
So if you were the Clippers, you wouldn't even think about moving on from him after blowing that 3-1 lead?
Nah, man, you just got to get, you know, players got to buy in. The circumstances of playing in the bubble is different for some players. Some players need fans and, I guess, people in the stands to play. It's kind of weird because, like, when you're growing up playing, like, you're playing Little League basketball, like, there's not that many fans in the gym. You go to practice and scrimmaging, and, like, there's nobody in the gym when you're scrimmaging. So, I don't know. I'm not using that as an excuse for guys, but some guys need to grow some balls and step up and really – just say, yeah, I just sucked this whole time. I was just bad during the bubble, and just own it.
Nate Robinson here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Nate, when we get to the Celtics and Lakers series, Lakers take a 3-1 lead. Now, we've seen the Nuggets come back from down 3-1 before. I don't see another comeback in them. How about yourself?
I don't know, man. It should be 2-2 right now. Keep it 100 with you. If Mr. Plumlee doesn't run to a man that's already guarded, who was LeBron James, and he just stayed with AD, he doesn't make that shot. Like, you got to look at that. Like, Plumlee got to take that on the chin and let his teammates know that he screwed up on that play big time. You don't give nobody like AD, you don't give nobody an open shot at the end of the game. Like, you make that shot as hard as possible. You don't just give them an easy out. And AD had a great look and he knocked it down. So, I think it should be 2-2, but the Nuggets play better when they're backed against the wall. So we'll see. They've been doing this they could be the first team to ever come back down 3-1. So we'll see.
And here's another thing. When we talk about closing games, Nate Robinson, you go to the other series in the Eastern Conference. The Celtics had two big leads in the first two games and couldn't close it, and now they find themselves down in a 3-1 hole. Do you think the Celtics have a better team and they just can't close, or are you really just that impressed with what Miami's doing throughout the whole game?
Man, Miami's doing solid. Honestly, you can't take nothing from them. Like, yeah, the Celtics are great. They play, you know, great basketball. They got, you know, some great young superstars emerging in this league. I do believe that Miami just has that grit. You know, they have that swagger behind them. Jimmy Butler, you know, he's a defensive guy, you know, that's showing y'all he can do offense as well when he wants to, but he gets his guys involved early in the game, and that's dope to have the confidence knowing you got young guys that come in and they can let them play their game. And, you know, and in the fourth quarter, they put it together. They blended so well together, like it all falls together perfectly, and they're doing a great job. I don't see Boston coming back beating Miami at all. I think Miami is going to go to the finals And you'll probably get either Denver or the Lakers in the final. We'll see. I don't know what if Denver can come back from this 3-1, but, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, I have them as my Cinderella team is making it pretty far, so they're making me look good. So hopefully they can at least stretch it to a game 7. That'll be awesome.
Before we let you run, Nate Robinson, we'll talk some DraftKings in just a second. I have to bring up the slam dunk contest. You've won it 3 times. All those years later, what does that mean to you when you look back at that honor that you won 3 years in, 3 times?
Oh, man, it's a blessing from God, honestly, man. Like I said, I felt like, you know, they were trying to get me out the league for so long anyway, and then to be able to get in the league and do what I've done from off the bench, you know, not playing, you know, super heavy minutes like I thought I deserved, like coming in, working hard, doing what I'm doing, you know, being on time every day, doing everything they asked to do, and it just wasn't good enough. So to be able to walk away with, you know, being the only 3-time slam dunk champion, not too bad, you know what I'm saying? Somebody from a small guy from Seattle, Washington, for the Pacific Northwest, I just try to rep my city. I try to rep my family and my name, you know, and I just try to show, you know, the talent that God gave me. I just want to show the world, like, what a little bit of hard work can do for you.
And, you know, whenever there's a slam dunk champion, there's always a controversy. Going back up against Andre Iguodala, you 100% think that was the right decision to give you the trophy that year?
I believe so. Being the right man won. I mean, I'm not just going to keep doing the same dunk over and over and expecting to get 50s every time. Well, like my guy Iggy, he did a couple of the same dunks the whole time. I mean, like, just put it this way. If I was his height with the hops that I had, that dunk contest wouldn't even have been close.
You got it. All right, Nate, tell me what you're doing with DraftKings.
Man, quick shout out to DraftKings first and foremost, guys. Man, it's pretty cool. I teamed up with them as one of the rainmakers for week 3 in the NFL season. Which means fans can they can compete against me this weekend.
Oh, nice.
For exclusive prizes. Yes, up to $1 million. So they'll be playing for $1 million. It's pretty cool, man. I love what DraftKings doing. This week I'll be challenging other rainmakers like Reggie Wayne and CC Sabathia.
Wow.
And yeah, if I win, I'm trying to win $10,000 to donate to the American Diabetes Association, man. A cool nonprofit, you know, helping my uncle passed away from diabetes, so it means a lot to me to be able to give back to, you know, something that means so much to me, man. So hopefully the some of the guys that I picked on my fantasy can come through and do what they're supposed to do, so I can, you know, tell Reggie Wayne and CC Sabathia to hold that. but I love what they're doing, man. You know, DraftKings, now that football is back. You know, they're bringing people, you know, closer together, closer to the game, and it's pretty cool. So if you haven't downloaded DraftKings, please do that right now, ASAP. Go download that for me.
When are you going up against Jake Paul? I read something about a fight. I didn't
November
even believe it.
November 28th, man.
You're going to kick his ass, right? I don't even think that's going to be a contest.
That's the plan, bro. That's the plan, man. I mean, he has one thing about it, you know, you never underestimate your opponent, man. I respect all my opponents, so I respect that he's been in the ring already. And that's the good thing about it. Like, I have nothing to lose but everything to gain. So I told him, like, you're a professional boxer. You call yourself that. So you have to beat me. Like, if you don't beat me, that shows what, you know, how good you really are and your training and your people. Because I'm coming off of what, boxing only a couple months. And I'm taking a fight to fight you. So I'm just, you know, really taking this in as a boxer, embracing everything, all the challenges, the running, the weights, the conditioning, everything, and it's coming together, man. And I'm really proud of the progress and everything that I'm showing in the ring. And sparring has been fun. It hasn't been easy, and you know we're training hard so the fight is easy. So that's the plan. November 28th.
Can I get in on your ring entrance? Be a part of the entourage? I think I'd be great. I think
man,
I have a little muscle.
Can you rap? Can you rap? Can you rap me in?
I'm white and Jewish. I don't think I'm great at rapping.
Man, that's all good, man. Everybody rap. If Jake Paul can rap, you can rap, bro.
Well, Nate, this is a whole lot of fun. You know, maybe you get Big Baby Davis involved. You get Shrek and Donkey back together.
Man, believe it or not, me and Big Baby are working on a new show. It's kind of like, you know, like the old school Robin Big show.
Love it.
So, yeah, we're gonna be doing fun stuff and going around the world, just seeing the world and doing cool stuff with me and Big Baby. So you got to stay tuned for that, too.
Real quickly, 30 seconds left. You have the Lakers winning the finals or somebody else?
I mean, it would be cool to have the Lakers win. I can't even lie, with everything going on, you know, with the death of Kobe. I mean, this is the perfect year for this to happen. So, I mean, I'm definitely rooting for them to bring it all home for Kobe and Gigi. I think that'd be awesome. That'd be just like beautiful for Laker fans and for, Kobe, his family, his wife, and just everybody that's been a fan of Kobe for years. I think they deserve it.
Well, keep up the great work with DraftKings. You know, keep on beating up some people, and Jake Paul, take him down for us. We appreciate it, my friend.
Let's go. I got you, man. Appreciate you, brother.
There's Nate Robinson. Good stuff with him. It's a Zach Gelb Show coming on back, CBS Sports Radio.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
It is a Friday. Make sure you tweet me at Zach Gelb on Twitter. Let me know how you're listening to the show, what a local affiliate you're listening on. Is it on an app? How do you listen to the show? SiriusXM channel 206. We'll shout out your Twitter handle and also your local affiliate or whatever way you do listen to the show. Let me remind you, as always, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line 855-212-4227 is sponsored by our good friends at Geico. Did you know that right now Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Once again, 855-212-4227. Connor Green, what do you got for me today, pal, on the Onsides, Offsides?
All right, Zach.
And by the way.
Yeah.
That was a nice pal.
I know. We talked last week about pal and buddy and guy.
That wasn't condescending. Like, you go get him, pal. You know, I haven't seen you in 10 years. You got it, bro. That was, you're my friend. You're my confidant. Let's go.
All right, number one, Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz has really struggled through two games. He's thrown for just two touchdowns and four interceptions and has a completion percentage of 58% as Philly sits at 0-2 after losses to Washington and the Rams. Onside or offside, Wentz will be benched at some point this season, and Jalen Hurts will become the starter.
No, offsides on this one, and that's a right-away immediate reaction. For Philadelphia, you just inked Carson Wentz to that long-term deal. When you did go out there and you signed or drafted Jalen Hurts, you did so as an insurance policy. So I'm operating under this question that Wentz doesn't get hurt because there's a good chance that Wentz gets hurt. But I'm talking solely based off performance. I don't think they make that move going to Jalen Hurts to Carson Wentz, taking Carson Wentz off the field and going to Jalen Hurts this season. Could they maybe one day down the road? Sure, but I think the Wentz stuff is a little bit of an overreaction. Remember last year, this guy had no wide receivers. Running backs were hurt. Late in the season, it was Greg Ward and Boston Scott were his two best weapons, and he got that team to the playoffs. Now, because of what you did last year doesn't excuse the bad quarterback play that we've seen through the first two games against Washington and the Rams. I don't think Philadelphia is going to the playoffs. There will be a stretch, though, where Carson Wentz plays well. You better, though, and I mean you better, go on out and defeat the Bengals this week, because there's no fans in Philadelphia. If they lose that game, fans will find a way into the stadium, or fans will find a way to get right outside the stadium and give you the most hellacious boo that you've ever heard if you lose to the Cincinnati Bengals. You cannot let, even though I think the world of Joe Burrow walk into your home and a bad Bengals team take down the Philadelphia Eagles. On Wentz's contract, he's under contract through 2024. You can't get out of this deal until 2022. There's a way that you could get out of it. So I think they're going to run with Carson. They should run with Carson. I look at Philadelphia. The bigger problem is offensive line's banged up. Jalen Reagor now hurt. I guess Alshon Jeffrey's coming back, but I don't expect much out of him anyway. Eagles, they're just not well constructed. And that's why I was concerned with them going into this season. But are you telling me Wentz will be benched at some point this season, not because of an injury, just because of performance, and Jalen Hurts will become the starter? I go offsides, and then Carson's going to start the rest of the season.
Offside.
Number two.
All right, number two. One of the best ways to slow down a hot quarterback, you would think, is to keep him off the field.
That's good football. You don't need a PhD in football to come up with that analysis.
High football IQ.
Mm-hmm. You're a football guy, Connor.
Right, football guy's guy. But Mike McCarthy has a different idea. Talking about the Cowboys game against the Seahawks this weekend, McCarthy said, quote, "We want to score as fast as we can, as many times as we can throughout the game. Onside or offside, this is the wrong game plan because a shootout with Russell Wilson is not a game the Cowboys can win."
Now, hold on. He actually said, "We want to score as fast as we can, as many times as we can throughout the game."
That's what he said.
What's the big deal with that? I get your point with what you're saying. What is he supposed to say? "We don't want to score through all of our opportunities. We don't want to milk the clock. We just want to put up the most amount of points in the fewest amount of seconds as possible." Well, if you go out there and score 40 points, you would think you'd win the game. Now, Atlanta last week scored 39, and Dallas found the way to score 40 because Atlanta had the biggest brain fart and didn't know the rule without recovering that onside kick. So when you ask me, this is the wrong game plan because a shootout with Russell Wilson is not the game the Cowboys could win, what happens if the Cowboys have the ball last and they put it in the end zone with 5 seconds left? So here's what I need to see from Dallas's offense. Against an opponent that is Super Bowl caliber like Seattle is, your offense has to go win the game. I don't care if it means you go on a 10-play drive that takes up 8 minutes off the clock and gets a touchdown. And I don't care if it comes on one big play. I need to see consistency from Dallas. And in game number one, that offense was vanilla against the Rams. In game number two, that whole team was up and down, and Atlanta had an epic choke job. So you could still win going blow for blow with Russell Wilson. So when you say this is the wrong game plan because a shootout with Russell Wilson is not a game the Cowboys can win, I go offsides.
Offside.
Sure, an ideal world. You got 8 drives a game. All those drives go double-digit plays. You chew up the clock. Just not realistic. That's just not how football works. Number three.
All right, number three. These days, the NFL is dominated by mobile quarterbacks. You ranked the top 4 quarterbacks in the NFL on Wednesday and named Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers.
In no order.
In no order.
To be fair.
As the 4 best. All are mobile. Most young quarterbacks as well, like Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson, Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, Trubisky, and Drew Locke all have an element of mobility as well. And we've seen what Cam Newton has done in New England as a mobile quarterback to reignite that offense. So onside or offside, the days of the pure pocket passer in the NFL has come to an end.
Well, real quickly, those other quarterbacks that you named, when I say on the greatness scale, do you go great or not great? And even if you say not great, that doesn't mean you don't think they aren't a good quarterback or a very good quarterback. But when we go with these young quarterbacks, do you think Josh Allen will be great?
I wouldn't say he's great, but he's fair. Good, and most of that is because of his mobility, I think. If he was a statue, it'd be a much different story.
Fair. Deshaun Watson, do you think he's great?
I think Deshaun Watson's great.
Same. Justin Herbert.
Only one game, not enough of a sample size.
Agreed. You go through the rest of this list. Kyler Murray.
I think not enough of a sample size, but he's showing that he can be great. Yeah,
I agree with that. Dak Prescott.
Not great, but very good.
Very, very good right now. Potential greatness. We got to see it, though. Mitchell Trubisky.
Very not great at all.
Drew Locke.
I would say average, not enough sample size.
So just because you have mobility doesn't mean that you're going to be a great quarterback. You're telling me if Tom Brady's in the league now, a younger version of Tom Brady or a younger version of Peyton Manning, that you wouldn't take them? Obviously, you would take them. So the days of the pure pocket passer in the NFL has come to an end. I go offsides. However, I do think it's so important to provide an element where you can have some mobility. Doesn't need to be your biggest strength. If it's in your repertoire, though, I'm more than fine with it. Yes, you don't need a traditional pocket passing quarterback, but there will always be a market for that pocket passing quarterback for 2 reasons. One, you could still be all-time great without being able to run. And number 2, less of a chance that you get injured. You're taking less hits. So I still think that's a big-time part of the formula as well. So I'm not all ready to say that the pocket passing, traditional pocket passing quarterback days are over. It's just a little bit different. Offsides.
Offsides.
Number four.
All right, number four. So speaking of Cam Newton, the Patriots QB already has four rushing touchdowns through two games, as New England has employed the single wing formation on the goal line, something you didn't see too much when Tom Brady was in New England. Onside or offside, in his rookie year, Cam set the single season record for rushing touchdowns by a quarterback with 14. This year with the Pats, Cam will break his own record and have more than 14 touchdowns on the ground. And just for record, he's on pace for 32 rushing touchdowns as is.
I'm going to go out on a limb. He's not going to get to 32. That's a little bit too much. What does he have? Four through two games.
Right? Yep.
Two against Miami and then two against the Seahawks. Yeah. Someone asked me, I forget who it was, because Mikey B's been out. I've had Hickey and I've had Ewan as well. Someone asked me, I think it was Ryan, will Cam lead the team in rushing this year after the first game? I'm like, come on, after one game, lead the team in rushing? And then you gave us that nugget earlier that last year Ryan Fitzpatrick led the Dolphins in rushing. That's a true statistic?
Yeah, he really did.
You're not spewing any fake news there?
That's real news.
After last week against Seattle, I'm starting to think now 2 weeks in a row, he's going to lead that team in rushing. And when Jason Lockenfor was on the show with us after week one, he said he wouldn't be surprised if he takes down Lamar Jackson's record for most rushing yards for a quarterback in a season. I'm not ready to go there. When we look at the rushing attempts, though, you're asking me, will he get over 14?
That's it. Over 14 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, I go on sides. He's their offense. I'm not saying Sony Michel, Rex Burkhead can't score. You're inside the five-yard line. You want Cam with the ball or Sony Michel and Rex Burkhead? I want Cam. And these receivers, maybe they turn into something. Edelman's good. N'Keal Harry, they have a relationship with Cam and Doughboy, as Cam Newton does call N'Keal Harry. But would you want your nickname to be Doughboy?
I would not, no.
Yeah.
That's kind of like he's a little bit of a chubby guy. He's a Doughboy.
I'm going to go on a disclaimer here, just like I did disclaimer for the first question about Carson Wentz. If Cam is healthy, Cam will have more than 14 rushing touchdowns this year. That, to me, is an onside because of the lack of weapons on the Patriot offense. And here's the Patriots offense right now. Oh, what was the formation? You said single wing formation? Here's the offense. Cam, the ball's going to get snapped to you. You either throw it or you run it. You're about 98.9% of the offense. Go make a play. Go make it happen. Be Superman. Hopefully there's no kryptonite this year, and the Pats will soar into the playoffs. That's the game plan. Or Belichick says to him,
Cam, all right, let's be real here. I don't know what N'Keal Harry is. I picked him in the first round, but I don't know what he is. Edelman is a very good player. These tight ends, people are telling me I should draft Hunter Bryan from FAU, and I didn't. We don't have much at tight end. So I have you here for 1 year, $2 million. Maybe I give you a long-term deal because I like you. You wear nice clothes. I wear crappy clothes. So people think we're polar opposites. And usually when people think something's not going to work out, I like to prove people wrong. So in this year, go show everyone why the league made a mistake. And let me take a middle finger to the league when you go dominate, and we'll go have a nice marriage here for the long term, and then I'll go get you some weapons. But for right now, Cam, here's what you got to do. You just got to simply go make a play, all right? Do your job. Do your job. No days off. No days off. No days off. Do your job and take us to the promised land this year, because I don't got a lot of answers on this offense this year. You're going to be a superstar player, though, and you have been a superstar player, so go show it.
That's what they do. Onside, Cam's going to break that record of his.
All right, number five. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur said wide receiver Davante Adams is, quote, probably doubtful for Sunday night's game against the Saints. Green Bay, of course, did not bolster their receiving core this offseason, which leaves Alan Lazard and Marquez Valdez-Scantling as their starting...
Say that ten times fast.
Marquez Valdez...
I think his name is Marquez.
Marquez Valdez. Scantling.
Now say it quickly, like 10 times in a row, as quick as you can.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Marquez that's
see,
it. I got like three.
I thought you were going to drop a curse word there when you messed up there. Be like Conrad in Milwaukee last night.
So they have Lazard and Scantling.
Valdez Scantling.
And on the opposite side of the field, Michael Thomas will miss the game for the Saints. We all saw how much Drew Brees struggled without him last week. So onside or offside? We all know how great Michael Thomas is, but Devontae Adams is actually more valuable to his team than Michael Thomas.
Offsides, and here's the reason why. I think both these teams are similar in terms of their weapons. When you look at Kamara and Jones, when you see Adams and Thomas, there are comparisons to make. Yes, Emmanuel Sanders is a better number two than Lazard and Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Even though Emmanuel Sanders has not been as great, it's only two games, though. I think he's going to be a solid player for them. I look at which quarterback I trust more, and I trust Rodgers right now more than Brees. So I believe that Thomas, because of Brees not being at what he once was, is more valuable to his team. And just look at it. After 1 week of not having him, the Saints go from beating the Bucks, watch out for the Saints, even though Brees didn't play all that great in the game. Then they don't have Thomas. Brees doesn't play well. And now everyone basically said, rest in peace to the football career of Drew Brees. This season's over for him and his career is over for him. So I go that Michael Thomas is more valuable than Adams this year because I think Rodgers makes an extra play or two or three, and he's a better player right now compared to Drew Brees, so Brees will miss his star receiver more. So, yeah, when you ask me that question, we all know how great Michael Thomas is, but Devontae Adams is actually more valuable to his team than Michael Thomas. I go offsides because of Rodgers.
Offside.
That's Onsides Offsides. This is Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, is there a motive behind what Odell Beckham Jr. said earlier today? We'll play you this audio because he's getting a lot of praise for it. I have a little motive that could be going through the mind of one OBJ. First up, we get a CBS Sports Radio update in. Let me get it right this time. Here is Bob Uecker.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Coming up at the top of the hour on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, Drew Bledsoe stops by. We'll get his thoughts on Cam and Tom Brady. Sunday, the NFL on CBS features some great matchups. You got the Raiders on the road against the Pats and Deshaun Watson and the Texans taking on the Steelers. It all starts with JB and the guys getting you set for the day Sunday at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. I'll give you a Odell Beckham Jr. take coming up in 2 minutes. First up, let me take Andre. He wants to chime in on a little bit of the NBA. Andre, go ahead. You're next up on CBS Sports Radio.
What's going on, big man?
I'm doing fantastic, Andre. How about you? All good with you, Andre?
Yeah, it's going good with me. Man, I'm looking at this NBA. Everybody's giving too much credit to the Miami Heat before they win anything. I got a feeling they're going to end up losing this series 4-3. Boston got four guys. I just got this feeling that they celebrate Miami too early. They're going to lose this series 4-3. And it's going to be old-time basketball, L.A. versus Boston in the NBA Finals.
That would be neat. I would all be for a comeback because I wanted to see Boston go up against the Lakers going into the conference finals. And thanks for the phone call, Andre. I just don't see how Boston comes on back because they get so tight in the big moments. And you saw that up against the Raptors. That series should have never gone to 7 games. And it did go to a 7th game. So you saw some signs there. And then in games 1 and 2, it was embarrassing how Boston blew those leads. So you win game 3, you finally protect the lead, and you don't win game 4. And I really like Jason Tatum. He's one of my favorite young players in the league. Jason Tatum, though, he showed up in the second half of game 4. He didn't show up in the first half of game 4. So the lack of consistency there, and with the way that Miami just finds a way to grind it out, even if they're down in a game, I don't see how Boston gets 3 victories in a row. And I said this all along. I think Boston is the better team. So I get it when Andre could say, look at the 4 guys that they have, even though Kemba has not played great. Gordon Hayward, it's only his 2nd game back. I like Tatum. I like Brown. I just don't think this team has it in them to win 3 in a row when they don't have a game to spot you. I don't see it. Now, I don't think Boston's in this miserable spot, but this is a blown opportunity because they are better than Miami on paper. And you could look at it, okay, Brown just finishing up his fourth year. Tatum's just finishing up his third year. Kemba, it's his first year in Boston. Sure, you have something. Next year in the East, it's going to be tough, though. Nets are going to be in the picture. Toronto's still going to be there. They'll be hungry. Milwaukee will still have Giannis. They'll be there. And Miami, who knows who they'll acquire in this offseason. So for Boston, you had a good chance here. This was a great chance. This wasn't the last two times you got to the Eastern Conference Finals where you're going up against the Cavs and no one expected you to win. You were expected to win. And the first two games, you showed me a lot. You showed me, even though I like this team isn't ready yet. Will they win tonight? I think it's a flip of a coin. I know that's a weak, lame analysis. I don't really have a feel on this game tonight. If they win tonight, that's a step. Do I think they'll win two more games? No, I don't. Because if you give me a three-game sample size, unless if they just run the heat off the court. If they run the heat off the court, then there's nothing you could do about that. But if there are close games, big signature moments, I think we've seen what we've seen the last two rounds with the Boston Celtics, and it suggests to me that they're going to come up short here. So I think Miami is going to the finals. I would. But Andre, I'm telling you, nothing against Miami. I'm pulling for you because I would not mind seeing Boston in the NBA finals, even though I would not be upset if it is Miami. You got Jimmy Butler. You got Bam Adebayo. Tyler Hero has been a fun player inside the bubble, 37 in that game 4 victory. I think Boston would have a better chance taking down LA. I would. Now, to be fair, I don't think either of these teams are taking down LA. And to get to the other series with Denver in a 3-1 hole, I know people will go, this is right where Denver wants them. This is right where Denver, this is making up for another Denver comeback. Come on, guys. And yes, I counted them out when they were down 3-1 to the Jazz. I counted them out when they were down 3-1 to the Clippers. Maybe I'll make a fool out of myself three times in a row. We're going up against, you're going up against LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They're not losing three games in a row. They're just not. This league's dynamic, the league of dynamic duos, the best dynamic duo in the league is LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Okay, so I saw something going on the internet today, and it was Odell Beckham. And when Odell Beckham goes around the internet, you never know what it's going to be. Is he unhappy in Cleveland? Is he happy in Cleveland? Is it some weird fetish, which I never believed when they were talking about a little, let's go, poop emoji that he may have enjoyed? Here is what Odell Beckham said today, and it was very positive. I just question if there's a little bit of a motive or acceptance here. So you hear the quote from Odell first, then I'll react.
For me, one of my biggest growth has come in acceptance, in a sense. And for me, knowing it's probably not going to be that kind of season. You know, like I always say, my goal is always going to be my goal. And I don't feel like I'm ever going to fall short of it. I think, like I said, learning acceptance. Nick Chubb needs to be number one rusher in the league. Like, it just, or Kareem too as well. You know, you got two legitimate number one backs in the backfield. And our team is very, very, very good at running the football. So you have to play to your strength.
Odell said the right things. My question is, does he actually believe it? Is this Odell saying, I'm all in, I'm ready to win the way we win because our quarterback is not great. We got to run the football first and have Baker manage the game. And because of the fact that Baker is managing the game, I'm not going to be a 12, 13, 1,400-yard receiver this year, even though I want to. Is that him maturing? Is that him saying the right things and hoping to win? Or is it him just saying that, and when he doesn't get the ball in the game, he's going to be pouting? Or is that him saying that knowing this is probably my last year in Cleveland? Let's not be a distraction. Let's not have me be viewed as a negative influence on a team because Cleveland's going to trade me at the end of this year and I want to go to a winning situation. I hope Cleveland does right by me and they trade me to a winning situation, and I don't want any teams to say, well, he was a pain in the end in New York. He was a pain in Cleveland. So I'm going to bite the bullet right now and hope that people just look at this situation and go, man, Odell really handled this situation the right way. He realized that the strength of this team was running the football. He was okay with his stats being sacrificed because of it. Maybe this has been a moment in Odell's career where he's turned the corner. So if I'm a team like, I don't know, the Packers or the Pats or Seattle, whoever that team may be, I'm going to go on out Baltimore and bring him in, because even though there are some concerns about the personality and where the production has been, I still see a lot of talent there. And you just wonder what happens when he gets teamed up with a great quarterback. Because in Odell's career, he saw the end of Eli Manning when Eli Manning was not great. And he's seen Baker Mayfield be up and down. I really think, if you ask me, if Odell's going to be perfectly fine but not having these great stats, these big prodigious stats this year, I'm not going to believe that. I think this goes two ways. One, there's a method behind this madness where potentially he's just saying the right things and hoping that he gets traded either in season or next season. And he just wants to be at peace with this. And he knows that his end is coming, the end is coming to a close here with the Browns. Or this is Odell just saying the right things to say the right things. And in this next game that he plays in, if he doesn't get the certain amount of targets, or if he doesn't get the certain amount of yards, then he's going to be on the sidelines or going up to another team like he did last year and say, hey, guys, trade for me, come get me. How about you, Connor? Are you buying into this Odell? I want to buy into this Odell. I like this Odell. But with what he said, I take it with great skepticism.
You know, I think what he really does believe, to me, doesn't matter too much, because it's like,
it doesn't matter what you think.
Because I think, like, even if he does think the opposite of what he said, it's better that he said what he did say. It's like, You know, everybody in life, if you're going for a job interview and someone says, what are your weaknesses? You never go, well, I'm late all the time and I oversleep all the time. You go in with something that, like, is a positive, like you bend the truth a little bit. So he might
think,
you
know what my weakness is? I always go, I read a decent amount, but I could read more.
Right.
And then program directors, they love that.
So he might, you know, think something opposite, but at least he said the mature thing. He showed maturity. Yeah. And I think that's a big, positive from Odell.
I like what he said. I just wonder what's behind it. And I question if he is going to be okay with not getting as many yards as he thinks he's going to get this year. Because remember, when he got to Cleveland last year, I'm with Jarvis Landry, I'm with my guy, I love Baker, I love Cleveland. And they didn't even make it through the full season before you heard Odell was saying in the game, come trade me, you know, come get me, I want out. I'm going to gift, what was it, goat shoes to Tom Brady? Maybe that will make the Patriots go, oh, you gave the goat shoes? Yeah. Odell Beckham going to New England. I wouldn't mind seeing Odell with Cam. Ooh. You line up Edelman with Odell and Cam? Sign me up for that. Bill, you gave up a second for Mohamed Sanu. Go give up a first for Odell. Who cares? Get Odell to New England. Drew Bledsoe joins us next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.